Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You read him in the Tribune. He is KC Johnson, our Bulls insider. Good morning, KC. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're doing well. And what was maybe 4 or 5, 6 weeks ago, interesting Bulls barroom debate is now reality. Jabari Parker, a Chicago Bull, and only in the world of professional sports can you write, well, it's a low-risk move for the Bulls at 1 year and $20 million guaranteed. But guess what? That's what it is. And should Bulls fans be where should their Bulls buzz be with that, with this addition?
I mean, it can be wherever it wants to be, obviously. You know, there's certainly been some split opinion. But if you look at what John Paxson and Gar Foreman have said since the Jimmy Butler trade, this move fits exactly into everything that they've said. They're in the, you know, young talent and asset accumulation phase of the rebuild. They are clearly cognizant of the history that Jabari has played better at the four than the three, and their hole in their current lineup is at the three, but he has played some three, and he's a young talent, albeit one who's had two torn left ACLs, and they're going to see if both his health and his positional trend of playing poorly at the three can change with a low-risk one-year, basically one-year deal.
Yeah, Case, there doesn't seem to be any downside on the surface. How about below the surface? Is there any?
Well, the only, I mean, you know, we're a cynical bunch, us sports writers, right? So, I mean, you know, I guess the only below the surface one you would say is that there was already going to be a lot of pressure and spotlight on Fred Hoiberg and his staff to get Dunn, LaVine, and Markkanen up and running. That was a huge storyline from last year because they didn't play much together, and when they did play together, it wasn't very effective. So you got three, you know, kind of talented players there that need the ball, that need to eat, and now you're throwing a fourth guy in there who, you know, obviously he's got a ton of offensive talent, a lot of offensive versatility. You can look at that as a good thing, or you can look at that as, how are we going to make this work? There's one basketball, and now you've also got a guy who, albeit in the watered-down competition that is Summer League, looks like he's ready to roll at 19 in Wendell Carter Jr. Now, another nice thing about that kid is that if you've listened to him and watched him play, he certainly looks like a guy who can thrive whether or not he touches the ball. But, yeah, I mean, if you're looking for downside, if you want to be negative, someone joked to me that Wendell Carter Jr. is probably saying, well, Jabari Parker's another Marvin Bagley. You know?
Yeah, there is a problem with finding enough basketballs out there at one time, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that storyline will be written and talked about and reported at some point this season, guaranteed. But you could also say, you know, there's a lot of talent on that Golden State team, and they seem to figure out a way to make it work too. So this is, you know, this is going to be an opportunity, and also, you know, a challenge for Fred to make everybody happy, to let everybody eat on the offensive end. But, you know, look, the Bulls are not in the position of the rebuild to start judging fit or how things work. They're in the phase of let's go get some talented players and see how it all plays out. And in that sense, I think this move is a good one.
If it was up to you, would you just throw Wendell Carter Jr. out there and you know, have the all young guys as the starters and have Lopez come off the bench, or do they need some early season seasoning?
You know, that's a great question, Brian. I think initially I probably would start Lopez, not only because of just kind of the reward and bonus of, you know, rewarding him for who he's been and what he's meant in his short time here, but also because the kid is 19. And I say that with the fact that he's very unfazed, very confident in his abilities, and I don't think he'll be spooked by the big moment. But I think initially you have some time to buy, particularly since I would guess that Lopez at some point would be shopped with his expiring deal, you know, in advance of the February 2019 deadline. So, but ultimately, if everybody's healthy, I certainly see that lineup being rolled out there, and I think it'll be a lot of fun. Let's look at it this way, guys. There could be some pretty exciting nights offensively at the United Center next season.
What surprised you most about Carter?
What has surprised me the most?
Yeah.
The biggest thing is, you know, you heard about his defensive instincts in terms of rim protection and length with the 7'4 wingspan. The biggest thing was just how solid his footwork was. I mean, obviously there were times, again, albeit in summer league, but you can just you can throw out the summer league qualifier in the sense that there are times he's matched up against, you know, high level first round picks in Colin Sexton, Trae Young on the perimeter, and I'm not saying he, you know, shut him down, but there were times where he moved his feet expertly, fluidly, and you know, forced either a turnover or forced the guy to pass off. And, you know, in today's NBA, Barry, with that trend being, you know, bigs needing to guard smalls in open space with all the switching, I thought he looked very, very good and very, very confident when that happened. So that was probably the thing that jumped out the most in me, because lateral quickness and athleticism were probably the only two, I wouldn't say even question marks, but just, you know, whispers you heard about him in the pre-draft process from scouts and stuff. And obviously you didn't get a chance to really know how he's going to look in that realm, because Duke played so much zone. And again, I'm not saying he's going to be perfect in that area, but he certainly showed some proficiency in that area, and that was a pleasant surprise.
And when you look at Zach LaVine's defensive numbers and Jabari Parker's defensive numbers, scary bad, and you wrote it, I laughed out loud, about the third reference, did we mention they're going to have to win some shootouts? Can Hoiball make up and kind of cover up the warts of the defense at this point?
I mean, that's what it's going to have to be. And you know, things can change. You know, Levine's 23, Parker's 23. They can get better defensively, you know, on paper. But, you know, the history is the history. Neither of, you know, on the ball, both guys have actually been pretty decent at times, but they both have tendencies to drift off the ball, and their on-court awareness off the ball has struggled at times. So if you're look, if you're starting Parker the three, which is certainly going to be the plan initially, you know, that's where the alpha males, that's where the dynamic players live, is at the two and the three in this league. So you're going to be guarding, you're going to be having LaVine and Parker guard the two most high profile positions in a lot of cases. So I'm on paper, it projects like this could be a defensive struggle. You know, Markkanen has shown some ability to be a solid team defender positionally. Carter and Lopez certainly going to have to be adept at rim protection. And then, you know, Dunn is obviously, he averaged two steals last year and certainly showed some ball hawking ability and physical play at the lead guard spot. It can certainly guard some twos in some instances. But, I think you're going to have to see the Bulls win games with their offense rather than their defense next season.
Casey, obviously it's pretty early to wonder, as you just said, how this is all going to fit together and how this is all going to work and who can stay healthy and who can't. But in a year, after finally pulling the trigger on this and after
right.
many years of wondering, in 1 year, they've done an awful lot. I mean, they have all these lottery players and all these high picks, and suddenly they're all together on one team. Would you have guessed that that could have been done in a year?
Yes, and here's why. And I wrote this way back, not that I expect you guys to remember everything I write. But
oh, I remember. I remember.
I wrote this right when they made the Jimmy Butler trade, as I said, kind of just look at John Paxson's history. You know, I know there's been talk about how many rebuilds this is, and, you know, to me the Rose one was more of a reset than a rebuild, because they weren't expected to be bad that year when the year Skiles got fired in 07-08, and then they lucked into Rose in the draft lottery and then hired Binnie and kind of muddled along at 41-41 for 2 years. To me, there's been two just outright full rebuilds, and one was when John took over, you know, and Gar was kind of there. John took over for Jerry in 03, and then this one. And in 03, from 03, in April of 03, when he took over from Jerry, to the end of the 05 season when they won 45 games unexpectedly. John flipped the entire roster except for Eddie Curry and Tyson Chandler. The entire roster. That's just what he did. And in that 04-05 season, obviously, that's when they hit gold, albeit not at the championship level, but certainly at a competitive and hard-playing team level. They brought in Dang, Duhon, Gordon, and Nocioni all that season as first-year players. So, I agree. I think if you just look back 13 months, they've done a lot, and they've got a lot of young talent. Now they've obviously got to make it work on the court. They've got to win more than 45 games, not necessarily this season, but, you know, if they want to be – if the goal is championship, which I know it is, they've got to do better than that other time. But this is John's MO. When they push the button on a full rebuild, they accumulate a lot of young talent. And now, again, it's on the players and the coaches to make it work on the court.
And we'll let you go, Casey, but you mentioned at the top of the conversation, we're a cynical bunch. How should we read the idea that the Bucks played ball with Jabari and the Bulls and, you know, said, and Mark Bartlestein is a terrific guy, and maybe it just speaks to all the people involved, but normally you don't see a rival team like that helping out another team or making it easier to get something done.
Well, I do think it was a little bit of a public lipstick on a tough situation for the Bucks, but to me, this was what was written and reported was accurate, that all was accurate. But what I will say is that, to me, the Bucks missed their opportunity to get something for Jabari at the trade deadline. And from my understanding, there was some split opinion within the organization between maybe, I don't know if ownership and basketball ops were all on the same page or what have you, on whether or not to trade this guy. Because, look, beyond the fact he's the number two overall pick in the draft, which is a big deal, he was very important in that community. If you remember the day he was drafted, how much he talked about how he's going to embrace this community and how just up the road from Chicago, but it's a small, you know, proud community. And he was very, very active in the community. He represented that organization fantastically. So there was some split as to whether or not they wanted to pull the trigger and admit a mistake at the February trade deadline. And you could have got something for him. You wouldn't have got a lot for him, but you could have got an asset for him in February. And then when that passed and they obviously made some of the free agency decisions that they made early, it was clear that they were financially not going to be in a position to bring him back. So once that happened, that's when Bartlestein saw the opportunity. And then, yeah, I mean, the Bucks could have made this difficult on the Bulls and could have made it difficult on Jabari. He did not got the team and player friendly contract that was structured the way it was if the Bucks had held him on the qualifying offer. So all that part is true, but to me it was a little bit gummed up from the Bucks end when they didn't trade him at the February trade deadline.
There is no off time in the NBA, but hopefully you'll get a little breather here after your month in Vegas or wherever it was. But always interesting stories, and the rebuild goes on, and we'll be following it. Thanks so much, Casey, for your time.
All right, always good talking to you guys. Take care, man.
Casey Johnson, the Mully and Hanley Bulls insider, you read him in the Chicago Tribune. Going to talk to Brad Biggs in a little bit, talk some football. The Bears a week out from Bourbonnais, and we have some more baseball conversation. And in the 8 o'clock hour, you have a chance to win $1,000 on Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.